The following is an excerpt from the Science Magazine podcast. To hear the whole show, visit www.sciencemag.org and click on Science Podcast.
Finally today, David Grimm, the editor of Science's online daily news site, Science Now, is here with a wrap-up of some of the latest science news. Well, Dave, first, I guess some bad news in the fight against identity theft, as if we need it anymore.
That's right, Stuart. It turns out your social security number may not be as secure as you think it is. This study has to do with how social security numbers are assigned. And just to give you a little background here, Stuart, this was a revelation to me. I didn't know there was actually a process for this. But the Social Security Administration actually publishes rules for how it assigns social security numbers.
So it's not just a random set of however many numbers.
It's not as random as I thought it was. The first three numbers are what's called your area number, and that depends on where you were born. So some states have just one area number, like a small state would have one area number, and a big state like New York has three area numbers. And then the following two digits are what's called your group number, and that can be anything from 1 to 99, and that is somewhat randomized because it doesn't really correspond to anything specific. And finally, the last four digits are what's called the serial number, and those are assigned sequentially.
Sequentially.
Right. And taken all together, this still seems like a fairly random process because you figure, you know, people are born in different states on different days, and when this is all put together, it must be some sort of mishmash of numbers. But what this team has found is that this process really isn't as random as it appears on the surface. It turns out that these researchers found that this area number, which is those first three numbers, it's actually not rotated into all of the serial numbers have been assigned. So what that means, for example, is if two people are born back to back in the same state and the first person is assigned the number, say, 576-32-0001, the next person is going to get the number 576-32-0002.
Well, that doesn't sound very good.
That doesn't sound very good, and it doesn't sound very random. And what the researchers did was they used a pretty standard computer algorithm, and they found about 8.5% of the time they could accurately predict someone's entire social security number in fewer than 1,000 tries.
Yikes.
So that's pretty concerning. And what they say is any savvy computer hacker with access to this information could potentially harvest 47 social security numbers a minute.
Well, okay, that sounds pretty grim. I mean, is there anything we can do to protect ourselves from this?
Well, one expert says that, you know, one of the big mistakes a lot of companies have made is in how we treat Social Security numbers. You know, in the past, Social Security numbers were not meant as identification tags. They were just a way of having the government be able to track taxes and benefits. But over the years, banks and credit card companies and other organizations have used Social Security numbers as unique identifiers. And security experts are saying we need to get away from that. We can't treat Social Security numbers like fingerprints. Just because you have a Social Security number doesn't mean that's actually you.
Okay. Well, on to the next one, volcanoes and ice ages. What's that all about?
Well, Stuart, this is some more grim news, but this is grim news that happened a very long time ago. And this story has to do with a volcano called Toba, which erupted 74,000 years ago on Sumatra, which is in Indonesia. And this was a massive eruption. In fact, researchers estimate that it spewed about 1,000 times more rock and other material than the massive Mount St. Helens eruptions in Washington State in 1980. So this was a big deal. And in fact, it was such a big deal that it caused the world to cool by about 10 degrees Celsius. It caused this huge global famine because a lot of vegetation died. And it's even suspected to have wiped out a pretty large chunk of the human beings that were alive at the time because of massive famine and starvation. And the question for researchers has been, as bad as this eruption was, could it have been even worse?
Even worse in what way?
Well, some scientists have speculated that the cooling that the volcano caused the world to not just cool for a few years, but actually caused this 1,000-year deep freeze where temperatures stayed very low for a very long period of time. And the evidence for this is this volcano actually erupted around the time of around the latter part of the last ice age. And the eruption of the volcano coincides with these cooling temperatures. And so the researchers have wondered, well, maybe this eruption helped prolong this last ice age. And if it happened today, could it be just as catastrophic? Could it cause another 1,000-year deep freeze? Could it kill tons of human beings? What the researchers did in this study was they ran some simulations and they said, okay, let's go back 74,000 years and reconstitute this volcano, as it were. Let's create a similar eruption in these models, or let's even create eruptions that are worse than this eruption. And the way volcanoes actually cool the world, or at least super volcanoes like Toba, they emit massive amounts of sulfur dioxide into the atmosphere. And sulfur dioxide forms aerosols in the air, which essentially block out the sun, which causes all this cooling. And Toba likewise emitted a lot of this sulfur dioxide. But when the researchers ran these models, even with tons of sulfur dioxide spewing into the air, they saw global cooling, but the cooling only lasted a few decades. It didn't last 1,000 years. So it was sort of relatively short-lived. And when they replayed the model in today's conditions, they found the same thing, that, you know, there would be this cooling, maybe as cool, maybe the Earth would cool by as much as 17 degrees Celsius, which is a big amount and would be very catastrophic, but it would only potentially last about a decade. It wouldn't last 1,000 years. It would be very devastating for us here on Earth. We wouldn't want to be around.
No picnic, but no ice age.
No picnic, but no ice age. Exactly. So the bottom line is Toba was a very bad volcano, but not as bad as some scientists had thought it was.
And finally, a story on cancer and race.
Right. Well, Stuart, I'm afraid we've got to end with even more bad news. And this bad news has to do with cancer as a discriminator. And there's always been this question, if we talk about two groups of people, African Americans and white Americans, if there's differences in how these two groups respond to various cancers. And there's some evidence to suggest that they do. For example, African American women are less likely to get breast cancer than white women are, but they're much more likely to die from it. But researchers have said, well, what's the reason for that? You know, it could be that just African Americans tend to have less access to healthcare than white Americans do. So it could be a disparity just in terms of the treatment options available. But other scientists have said, no, it has to do with biology. There's something on the biological level that causes white Americans and African Americans to deal differently with cancer.
And so now someone's taken a closer look at this, I presume?
Exactly. In this study, researchers consulted what's called the Southwest Oncology Group. And this is basically a big cooperative group in the U.S. that oversees these large multi-center trials for a variety of cancers. And what's significant about these trials is all of the participants, no matter what their race is, get the same level of care. So they get the same treatment. So it sort of takes out this confounding factor about whether, you know, some people are getting better care than others. And the series of trials they looked at in this study covered nearly 20,000 people. So it's a really large group, and it covered a very large time period from 1974 to 2001. So this was a really big sample of people.
So what did they find when they looked at this big sample?
Well, the good news was that most of the cancers they looked at, and they looked at eight cancers, breast cancer, lung cancer, ovarian cancer, and a few other cancers. And for most of these cancers, race didn't seem to make any difference. Everybody had about the same survival rates. But there were three cancers, breast cancer, prostate cancer, and ovarian cancer, where the team did see differences. For example, for premenopausal breast cancer, the 10-year survival rate was about 68% for African Americans versus 77% for white Americans. And say for ovarian cancer, the median survival was about 1.3 years for African Americans versus about 2.3 years for white Americans. So the team did see disparity in some of these cancers. And they say you really can't chalk the disparity up to differences in care because everybody was getting the same care. So there must be something going on a biological level, maybe different levels of hormones or the way perhaps chemotherapy drugs are metabolized by African Americans versus white Americans that are causing these disparities in survival rates for some of these cancers.
Okay, Dave. Well, so what else is the science news team looking at this week?
Well, Stuart, for Science Now, we're looking into a study about how cutting calories extends lifespan. And researchers have done a study in monkeys, which seems to suggest that calorie reduction does extend lifespan. And on Science Insider, the policy blog, we ran a story about how scientists are reacting to new stem cell rules that have been settled upon by the National Institutes of Health, and also what President Obama's plans are for space exploration. So be sure to check out all these stories on the site.
David Grimm is the editor of Science Now, the online daily news site of science. You can check out the latest science news, plus find a link to the science policy blog, Science Insider, at sciencenow.sciencemag.org.